PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Tour Edge. Their Exotics golf ball offers a three-piece cast urethane cover with 318 dimples that promote solid launch off the tee and great greenside action without sacrificing feel. The high-speed Kinetochore promotes big distance and stability through the wind, which is something I am always looking for. Check them out at touredge.com. Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Casey Schultz, which means there are exciting things coming out of Cleveland and or Srixon and or Zexio. Casey, what's up, man?
Hey, Dan, great to be on. And yeah, a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement. I think it's a really fun season to be on and talking about all these new products.
You know, the funny part about having guys like you on the show is most people get really excited about like, hey, I got a great view from my office. Sometimes like, hey, we're on property right now. Check out this cool golf hole I'm by. But what you have behind you is so stimulating emotionally for an online gearhead. And probably most of the people watching this show, because it's like very clearly a studio where you're taking photos of golf clubs that we've probably never seen before. And, yeah. and I feel like this is like a vicious attempt to keep us super excited about what's to come.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a little fun when I film in here because I could just turn my camera left and get fired. So that's a pretty, you know, pretty scary place to be and reveal, you know, a year's worth of product that's sitting right next to me. But we're on the grind. We're doing everything in-house. We've got our photo studio here that's taking a lot of the products. So, but we also use it as a meeting room from time to time. So you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's one of those funny things where sometimes you get to see like assembly or, you know, a box that very clearly has something in it we're not supposed to see with like a little marking on the side that says something we've never heard of. And then you guys are just chilling in a room where it's, you know, very clearly things are going on. Things have been seen in there that we've never seen before. And it's just like a constant reminder of golf is so far forward. But at the same time, like a lot of those photos we're now looking at on the website you've taken probably pretty recently.
So, yeah.
What a cool concept. How's the last couple of months been going for you guys? Are you getting a lot of success, a lot of momentum on the products that have been out?
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. Ryan Fox winning the British with I'm not allowed to say the names of the products. You can probably figure out what was in the bag. Some, you know, exciting new offerings that'll be coming out here soon has given us so much momentum. Obviously, RTZ2 being revealed this week and already getting some adoption in the tour bags and, you know, pushing that release forward with everything we were able to achieve with that program, finally being able to talk about and come to light. It's been years of work on that one. So it's really exciting to share everything. And I think internally the excitement is, I feel like I'm saying this every time, but we're really, as a brand, moving in directions we never have. And everything's being elevated and everybody's really rowing in the same direction. And a lot of internal excitement. Our sales meeting a few months ago was, really, really well received from all of our reps and associates. And I think we've just got, you know, the best equipment we've ever made continually coming out. And this launch is no exception. So really excited for all the golfers to get a chance to play this this new set of clubs. And it's really, really awesome, the strides we're taking as a company.
Yeah, I think the fun part about focusing on new product is what we have not seen and what's different and new. But I'm always curious the way that you're forced to turn a chapter. You've been so hyper focused on it. And this specifically, we're talking about wedges today. The RTZ was such a popular conversation for such a long time. It's like, what does it look like to turn that page as a company? I know there's been a heavy focus. I know you have probably mostly ups with it because Cleveland is so well represented in the wedge space. But what's it like to really fully turn the page to the next chapter on that, on RTZ?
Yeah, I think the benefit of the RTZ, and I could say this for the Srixon irons and some of our other products as well, is we found ourselves with a really good foundation and a really good direction that we're trying to go as a company. And we feel like we've already got a lot of things right in those products. So instead of swinging the pendulum too far and trying to reinvent the wheel when we've already sort of done that in a lot of the recent releases, we're really trying to take what we did so well in that first product and then add, you know, additions to it. So instead of trying to, you know, replace this or replace that or, you know, fix things that weren't broken in the first place, we're finding those opportunities within the designs or the SKUs or the expertise of having somebody like Roger Cleveland back on board to refine and perfect the performance and attributes of each of these products and these upcoming launches. So it's a really fun place to be where we've already got something that we feel like performs extremely well and is, you know, in line with what we're trying to achieve as a company. And then to just level it up and make it better is, as an organization, what we're designed so well to do with some of the Japanese mindsets and everything that really take place. So I think it gives a level of trust and expectation that can come with each of our releases that it's not going to break anything, but it's going to be better than the launch before in a number of ways as well.
The expectation is a really interesting point, especially when you have tenured products like a Cleveland Wedge. There is, I can think off the top of my head, a handful of people who swear by them and say, mm-hmm. There's no question in my mind, this is the best wedge I will ever play. Not that I have ever played, that I will ever play. There's this like deep commitment to the product that I would assume is incredibly important as a company, but also incredibly validating to get to that point. So, you know, I would think with that comes a little bit of challenge to not take too far of a leap and be very careful about how you're manipulating your product to both accommodate players and encourage others to get involved. What's that like, man? What how slippery is that slope?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a identification of opportunities and where to take risks and where to not. I think with the original RTZ, we took a ton of risks. Having Z alloy as sort of a core material, I mean, there's nothing more risky than swapping out the actual metal that is made, making up the entire wedge. Once you get a lot of those things right, I think it's maybe a little easier or in some ways a little more challenging to identify the areas to grow from there. And once you've got that foundation, you know, working closely with tour players and working closely with experts like Roger Cleveland to figure out how we can make that foundation better is a pretty fun process. And knowing how many things you've already gotten right and, you know, basically putting a list of, okay, we don't want to break this, but there's some opportunities in a few other areas to, you know, grow and to continue chasing better performance and better optimization and better fitting and everything that will really help a golfer play better. Better golf. There's always room for improvement there. So I think we find ourselves in a really good spot in the wedges to do exactly that with this new generation.
So how responsive is tour to stuff like this? Are they pretty polarizing? Are they a mixed bag? Is there a lot of consistency across the board?
I mean, I would say tour is definitely a mixed bag when it comes to new technologies. I think Z alloy was probably the big example of a shift that originally got, we were expecting some hesitancy, and initial conversations with tour leadership was, you know, something of fear of these guys have played 8620 for their entire lives. We're really expecting them to change the material of the wedge, and we kind of had to go in with it. Well, hear us out. Like, this is better for X, Y, and Z reason. It's not going to rust. The performance is going to be better. Feel is going to be better. Tour was a little skeptical. All of a sudden we take the material out to the guys, and sure enough, adoption's the quickest in the history of the company. We're getting non-staffers left and right coming to our brand, playing RTZ wedges. And all of a sudden we've, you know, really caught lightning in a bottle with this new material shift, and taking that risk was worthwhile. So I think going from there, the RTZ2 developments have been a little bit less risky and a little bit more directly tour involved from the get-go. Where we've worked with, you know, the tour players on the new grinds and everything that we've managed to achieve with this offering, taking their feedback in on weighting and other shifts to improve the overall performance and the shots that we're looking to play with each wedge. So I would say that the more incremental and strategic improvements, as well as the grind expansions that we've done with RTZ2, are directly related to that tour feedback, and haven't had any, you know, hiccups or any challenges to get them in, or really no concerns from the tour. which has been a much less risky development, though it didn't lead to the same amount of excitement. We had some challenges with adoption, then all of a sudden no challenges at all. We're already in a really good place with Tor adoption, so it's been easy to get them into RTZ2 as well.
When it comes to Tor, is there a lot of grinding that's done on the truck? Do they have expectations to modify their heads quite a bit or no?
It changes. I would say a couple years ago, the Tor guys were saying not really. They were pretty generally aligned with the current stock grinds we have, and there wasn't as much variation or tinkering. I think that's increased a little bit over the last couple of years. I don't know if it's a Tor trend or the fact that we've got so many more players, honestly, on our sort of staff and non-staffers coming to us asking for strange, unique variations, which you may have seen on some certain posts. We've got offset variants. We've got a whole bunch of unique stuff. So I think the grinding has kind of increased. And as we're serving more and more golfers, the ability to go with more unique options and the popularity of our Tor rack wedges and being able to grind on Tor a wedge now that doesn't rust and will have those performance elements last for so much longer, I think is a benefit there. So we've taken the advantage of that trend and brought that more to retail with our Tor rack grind program as well, so you can get that true Tor experience. But I'll say the majority of our guys still play the stock grinds without too many modifications. We've got a pretty strong stock matrix that'll suit them. But I would overall, there's certainly some off menu stuff there and things that we're looking to replicate through our Tor rack program to give everybody really that Tor truck like experience if they want it.
Yeah, I'm always curious about that because it's not certainly not company specific. It's probably Tor specific that players get picky, and respectfully, they have earned the right with their skill level to say, I want these subtle variances, whether it's in a wedge, a golf ball, a driver head, the variety that can exist. But the benefit, I assume, for you guys is you get the experience of them providing feedback and offering these very specific things they're chasing. How much of that from the Tor side ends up in the office conversation, in the R&D side?
Oh, a ton. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we talked about with the new grinds, we'll get into the product in a bit, but the 588 grind edition, we had Roger was coming back and we had the idea, philosophically to add this grind to the lineup quite early on, but we wanted to make sure it made sense from a performance perspective. And we didn't just add a grind to, have a retro theme and harken back to the old days. It's got to make performance sense for golfers to fit within our matrix and have something that, works well for a certain player type. So when we introduced a prototype on Tor, a year and a half ago, something along those lines in RTZ, then we were able to successfully get some adoption there. And that really gave us the feedback that, this was something that was really going to be useful. And we felt a lot more confident rolling it out to retail with this RTZ2 launch, knowing that some Tor adoption would happen. And it's a grind that, performed best for a lot of the best players in the world. And we'll do the same at retail as well.
We need to talk Roger Cleveland. It's inevitable. I assume this is a very significant point of conversation when it comes to RTZ2. Mm-hmm. For very good reason.
Yes.
The man knows things that we're glad he knows. And the idea that he has involvement in this product is incredibly exciting for not just me, but for a lot of folks who have followed along the THP story and have experienced Roger over the years. We know that good things happen when he's involved. So
yes.
How did you incorporate him? What brought him into the conversation and how much of an impact did he have?
Yeah, I mean, he had a significant impact. He certainly joined the company right around the start of development of this wedge. And we were able to really go through every aspect of our wedge designs with him. And honestly, probably expected more changes to happen in certain shaping aspects than they did. We went through shaping, address, top line, leading edge, radius. And he was very happy with many of the decisions we made in RTZ, and not a lot of changes happened in those areas. Where we did find some opportunities with his analysis and his expertise to really make some serious steps for this new generation was in the sole grinds, however. So every single sole grind we went through with Roger and updated chamfers and radii and the locations of grind elements and bounce angles and a bunch of small tweaks to the low, mid, full, and adapt. So all of the grinds are all new this generation with Roger Cleveland's signature. You'll see the little script on the toe. It's meant to denote that, combined with his expertise to really put grinds to the market that he could put his name on and, you know, were approved by him and were designed to, you know, his expertise and everything that he's learned over all of his years in the industry. So I'm really working with him to pull that off was a massive step, along with working with him to bring the 588 into the lineup with the RTZ2 wedge chassis. So essentially we scanned a bunch of old 588s and were able to, you know, adapt that that grind variant and the, you know, holistic lineup of the RTZ2 with Roger being there at every step and making sure that all the radii and everything that grind was designed to achieve performance wise was taken into account in the one we rolled out to retail. So really exciting stuff having him involved in all of that decision making and you know, every single step of the way he approved files and was the expert that we went to make sure that everything was to his liking. So really exciting to have him on board.
I like it because it's like new school meets old school in a lot of ways. You mentioned scanning. So I assume there's a careful validation or consideration that it's not really the way he looks at things or had looked at things in the past to get it right on from his perspective when you're incorporating things like the brand new technologies that exist in today's golf. You know, scanning product is a very curious thing. What exactly does that mean, and what is the benefit of doing something like that from an old product perspective?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been interesting to see how he goes about some of his methods of tracking grind angles and leading edge radii and everything that he does. Some of it is quite old school methods with, you know, throwing different physical items on the soles of the wedges and measuring chamfers and bounce angles that way. Versus, you know, our engineering team operates mainly in CAD or with a lot of different modern, technologies that will allow for different spec gathering from, you know, ours or our past products or our current products all into a database to actual CAD executions of each of the models and then to, you know, rechecking those final prints when it's actually a real physical product and making sure that what was made in metal with our vendors is what was, you know, designed to be executed in CAD. So I will say this process, and I think the theme of this whole product is certainly old school meets new school. It's a lot of brand new cutting edge technologies that are going in here with Z alloys, Aquari IQ, all of these optimization philosophies that we have with some expertise from the man, the myth, the legend himself. To combine into a wedge that, you know, combines everything that we know as a company into one really standout product.
You know, I look at it a lot like you see like a realist painting versus a cartoon painting. And it's just like you're getting the same conceptual outcome in two totally different perspectives. And I wonder from a design team's concept or presence, do they typically have a harder time seeing these on the production side and an easier time seeing these on the sort of computational or imaginary side in that regard? Or yeah, is it sorry go ahead. Yeah,
no, I was gonna say there's definitely a balance of that. You can have certain engineers or certain philosophies that get very stuck in, I call it number world, where you're chasing a couple points of MOI or a CG location here. And I think we can even be guilty of it a little bit from the marketing side as well, of talking about, you know, oh, the CG shifted X amount and yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, we got to, you know, make this a tangible, like, okay, but what are we actually achieving for performance? What is the goal of this product for the shots that you're going to be hitting, you know, a 60 degree wedge with? Are we optimizing the performance specifically for that golfer? So take it a little bit out of, you know, this statistical number set and into reality of connecting with that performance and what actually matters for a golfer's short game and what priorities that they have to play better golf and to have a better experience with a better feeling wedge and all of this. So I think Roger certainly operates a lot in that world as well, of, you know, understanding what we're trying to achieve with the performance of these grinds and you know, having that real life mindset come into the development process of the grinds and the wedges, combined with the analytical optimization, I think really, you know, creates the right benefit for a final product to roll out with the best of both worlds.
You know, one of the things I think is unbelievably beneficial for golfers who are seeing some for the first time is to get a better understanding of what they should be targeting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pop up an image on the screen here. I assume you can see it pretty well, but I also have a feeling you know it pretty well.
I do.
It is the five grind matrix that exists in RTZ2. Mm-hmm. I believe this is a notable step from RTZ original, but you also mentioned there were subtle changes that were made to the majority of the grinds to subtly improve their performance or their concepts and the way they should be played. So rather than people going to the website and reading these little blurbs, do you have the ability to walk through like sort of the feature performances of each one and help people understand it? So when they go and seek to hit it, they have an idea what they're chasing.
Totally. I would say starting with the top three, I think what we're calling the sort of standard grinds are the mid, the low, and the full. So you go back 5 years, you know, a little more than that. These were kind of the core Cleveland grinds, and they've done well for us. And as sort of a foundation for the line, really do fit a wide range of players. If you don't know what you want and you're not sure what's going to fit you and you're just walking into store and you want to buy off the shelves, mid, you can't go wrong. It's sort of a V-sole shaped grind, very similar philosophy to what's in our irons. Great blend of versatility with a beautiful turf interaction all the way through those gap wedge and pitching wedge lofts. It's going to allow you that proper blend of all-around performance and forgiveness. Very popular on our tour staff. I believe it's still the number one grind that our tour staff is using as the mid. And really does find that right blend, similar to our VT sole on our irons, of you know, turf interaction with the right amount of versatility around the greens. So at around 10 degrees of bounce, it's a really good sort of standard catch-all for a wide range of players who maybe aren't sure what's best for them. You can't really go wrong with the mid. On the other side of that spectrum, if you're looking for a little bit more forgiveness, the full is going to be there as well. Great option. I especially recommend in the 54 and the 56. I think it's a phenomenal sand wedge offering for somebody who's looking for a little bit more bounce off of the sand and likely doesn't open up the club as much or struggles a little bit with the chili dip every once in a while and wants something with a little bit more of a rounded leading edge or a little bit more bounce. It's a great option to give you, you know, a little bit more forgiveness around the greens if you're not looking to open the face a whole lot. The low is going to be sort of one of the max versatility options there. So if you're looking for a traditional looking wedge that has the ability to open up the face or you play firmer conditions and play off of a lot of hard pan, that sharper overall leading edge and lower bounce is really going to help you kind of cut through the turf rather than bounce off of it. It's really good for skilled players who are looking to play a lot of flop shots and get versatile. Then in the sort of other area of our grind matrix, what we're calling sort of the specialty grinds. We have the brand new 588 this generation. So this is going to be good for a lot of players. If you're looking for a little bit of a fuller, more classic sole, but want a lower bounce than our full, it's going to be a great option there. You can open it up a bit more than the full. It's going to have a little bit of heel relief to allow you to do that. It's going to work great out of bunkers still. Not quite as bouncy as the full, but still having that full sole design. And it's going to be really useful for a wide range of shots in sort of a classic versatility way. So a good blend of versatility and forgiveness in a more classic forgiveness or a classic performance feel than the mid, which is sort of that very modern V-shaped sole design. So anybody who's played the original 588 is going to love this or just wants a fuller sole with more versatility than's offered in the full. The 588 is a great option. And then introduced last generation, but returning here is the Adapt, which is sort of your very modern versatility option. It's going to have that full face design. So you're going to have that high toe and any, you know, shots that you hit on an open face that, you know, end up in that strike region, you're going to get that added spin and that added forgiveness. But it's going to offer a ton of versatility with this C-shaped grind. With the help of a little bit of leading edge bounce that's added in that chamfer to make it a little bit more versatile for a wider range of material than the low is, which is more, you know, catered to specifically those firmer conditions. So for a really well-rounded wedge for anybody who's looking to play flop shots or get versatile around the greens, would highly recommend the Adapt with full face grooves all the way up through that. If you want to get crazy, 64 degree, it's a really exciting offering.
Yeah, no one wants that. That's chaotic. get that off your website right now. You know, the one thing I really liked when reviewing these online, and everyone else can do this by going to the website and looking at this very specific image, is each one of them underneath have sort of like that that bar suggesting at what point it really applies in, whether it's for a deep divot or shallow divot, conditions of the course, and then the sort of profile, whether it's forgiving or versatile. You can see the difference between the heads, because I personally think for an everyday golfer, it's kind of hard to look down at a grind and be like, all right, I know exactly what this is going to do. And I think a really good example is looking at the full and the 588. Just from an overview, there doesn't seem to be a ton of variety right on surface level, but in reality, 588 playing closer to mid is like a really good reference point to those who are looking for what might actually suit their game. So like, I think this is a really good visual. I think the addition of that is extremely helpful. But I also think it, and you probably validate me, guys need to go hit it. Girls need to go hit it for themselves and recognize that we're not all the same. And there's a reason why there are more than one grind. And you should definitely go and hit them for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we understand that grind and decision-making is extremely challenging for any golfer. Like, there's so many options out there. When you get to the tour rack side, there's even more that we can get into in a bit, but the ability to fit yourself at whatever level you want to. I mean, reading through these and trying to find the one that's best for your game is one way. We have a selector on our website that'll walk you through a few questions about your game to try to make that decision a little simpler. And then that'll spit you out to what we recommend for loft and gapping to go to your bag and your game as best optimized for you. But nothing can, you know, really replicate the in-person experience. So finding a fitter or being able to hit demos yourself is certainly the best way to experience these grinds and, you know, understand which one really interacts best for your game. And grinds are very personal. So figuring out which from the matrix is best for you is certainly a challenge, but a worthwhile process to go through if you want a wedge designed specifically for your game, not just, you know, to suit the majority of them.
Mm-hmm. I know we're jumping a little bit, but I feel like it's a good opportunity to talk about the Zipcore IQ and how it's had an impact on this lineup. I know you guys have messed around with weight, and I say that very casually, but it's like you've focused in on weight on the heel side of the club quite a bit over the mm-hmm. last couple iterations, and we have Zipcore IQ leading the charge here. How much of an impact does that have, and what do you see those changes making for RTZ2?
Yeah, Zipcore IQ is a pretty big step in the way we go about our philosophy when it comes to weighting and different mass placement throughout the overall set of wedges. So in the past, we had a very similar fundamental design goal for, say, a 56 versus a 60 versus a 46. We'd simulate sort of full shot performance and certainly targeting different center of gravities and locations that are designed to optimize consistency for each of those models. And then kind of one size fits all to an extent, put that across the rest of the set. With Zipcore IQ, we challenge that philosophy. So instead of the same Zipcore pin in each and the same weighting philosophies and optimization per model, we've gone ahead and optimized for the shots that you're going to be playing with each and every club within the set. So 60 degrees are going to be optimized more for the wide range of shots that you're looking to play with a 60 degree wedge, likely a little bit more open face shots, right? Or striking higher on the face more, more often, but still having some, you know, pitches and chips that are going to strike lower or approaches to the green from time to time. So ensuring that the weighting on those wedges is located in an area that will apply to that wider range of strike locations, compared to something like a 46, which is going to be likely hit most of the time, a little bit lower on the face and not opened up. Not too many people are playing a flop shot with the 46, unless you're a unique golfer out there. So I think the optimization process has really allowed us to perfect the performance on each wedge and ensure that we're not taking a one-size-fits-all approach. But instead focusing more on the shots that we're looking to achieve and design for on each specific product. And that's led to a different Zipcore pin being featured on every single loft throughout, you know, the sets, or at least the vast majority of them. So in the past, it was one size fits all, and each model had the right and same Zipcore pin sizing and location. This time around, we've really optimized the mass to ensure that we're taking away the right amount of mass and, you know, keeping some where it was useful in certain lofts and removing more where we wanted it in others, and then varying that throughout the set to apply to the toe and in other regions. So you will notice if you compare in-store, in person, a number of these wedges that there will be subtle to not so subtle shifts on some of the mass placement on the flange of the wedge that will sort of show in certain lofts how much of that weight has been moved to optimize that CG and MOI versus others, while still keeping this ultra clean cosmetic that we've gone with on the RTZ2. So I think it's a lot more weight shift than people will realize, that we've kind of purposely hidden cosmetically to give, you know, that really clean looking blade appearance that everybody really, really enjoys having in their bag.
So sort of anticipating this to be an invisible technology, you're suggesting there's actually a bit of visual in some of these wedges?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you compare certain lofts in person, you'll certainly be able to see different amounts of mass added to that sort of high toe slash toe region, comparing something like the 588, which you know, is a little bit more of a traditional design, to a few like the lower bounce where we're really looking to open up the face. And you'll certainly see some more of the mass moved moved in those areas. So yeah, that optimization is something that has really taken hold in a lot of the different design language, and a lot more of a part-to-part variation when it comes to different SKUs or different offerings throughout the lineup than typically seen in a wedge offering.
That's huge. And you've continued a couple things that we've seen in the past, like UltiZip and HydraZip. Has there been any notable shift on that, or is it just a technology that's worked so well you've continued it?
Yeah, I think most of those technologies are really just continuing this generation. They've worked so well for us for a while. HydraZip is, you know, still industry leading in the wet spin department, and you know, taking advantage once again of Z alloy specifically is the biggest you know, shift that we've had recently in the overall lineup. So being able to execute this wedge lineup and use the new grinds and everything with the Z alloy material has really been an exciting addition, and that allowed, I would say, Zipcore IQ specifically Z alloy. I think those things are intrinsically linked with Z alloy, allowing us to have so much more discretionary mass than we would have with 8620. That allowed us to optimize this Zipcore weighting and location, and gave us more mass to move to those other areas of the club to ensure that we could optimize that performance that we're looking for in each model.
That's awesome. You know, I had to quickly add another visual, and you might have just seen it pop up there a second ago, because we have to talk Tour Rack and the things you guys have going on there. So I'll bring it up here, because I think it's another one of those things that, like, there's a real value of actually seeing it. And again, not perfect for those who are listening in, but the way you described the last set was perfect. So, you know, hopefully we can find a way to verbalize some of this, but also allow those who are watching to read it and see it firsthand, how much potential shift you can create with Tour Rack right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Tour Rack program is something that is, in my opinion, next to none when it comes to making a wedge that's truly designed for the performance you're looking for. The process would be you pick the grind that originally kind of suits your game best. I will say that the full and the 588 will allow the most customization options from there, since they're essentially, you know, full soles and the largest canvas to be ground upon. The 588 being a lower bounce variant to start with, the full being a higher bounce variant to start with. So a good place to start your Torak journey. From there, you can add whatever, you know, heel, relief edge, S-shaped, different types of grinds to those soles to optimize the performance that you're looking for specifically in that wedge. New this generation in this mix is the Roger Cleveland grind, which he sort of came up with in one of these meetings, that he liked the idea of adding, you know, the full gamut of versatility with that relief edge, the heel and the toe all added to make more of a sort of C-shaped sole, even within a full or a 588. So if you're looking for Roger Cleveland's approved versatility offering, there it is. really exciting addition to our Torak menu this time around. And then the addition of Torcrafted leading edges to that will help you fine tune that turf interaction even more. For my game personally, I think this is one of the more exciting additions, and I always end up getting with each new generation a rounded leading edge on my wedges. It will stop the wedge from digging quite as much and really give you that turf interaction that works really well in a wide range of conditions. Or if you're somebody who plays much firmer conditions, you know, the sharpened leading edge is the other side of that spectrum and will really allow you to cut through the turf, and something that certain players, especially shallower players, may be looking for, that, you know, don't want to bounce up as much and want to make sure that they get that sharper turf interaction. So having the ability to fine tune this wedge performance to exactly your liking is something really exciting. And I think what we're really putting a claim on from our company's perspective in making your wedges designed to your liking and to perform for your game. And there's a lot of cool personalization stuff out there, which I can get to in a bit. We updated that menu extensively with RTZ2 as well. But there's not very many options out there in the whole of the golf industry that will allow you to change a head design this significantly to affect performance.
Yeah, I'm curious, was kitchen sink grind the second best option for the Roger Cleveland?
Yeah, there's a lot of options that you can do here for sure. it's fun.
That's great. I think it's awesome because people are picky. And frankly, if they want to be picky, they have a very good option to go and get exactly what they're looking for. And I also like it's very specific on which wedge it'll apply to. But it also has an impact on the way the club interacts, right? So you don't want to measure too aggressively on those standard grind logics when you are incorporating some of these things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's some grinds that just didn't make sense. Like a relief edge is missing on the mid because that's what the mid is, right? It adds that relief edge. That's kind of the whole stock grind that's in there. So we've certainly got some comments. I can't order this on this grinder. It's like, well, ordering that on that grind would just be grinding on top of where the grind already exists. So It's kind of, you know, from a company perspective, we're not going to drive you in any directions that wouldn't, you know, actually make a performance difference just to take your money. So we're making sure that each of these grinds has a functional performance benefit and, you know, is something that's going to help you perform better and actually achieve, you know, a specific purpose.
You know, we should talk customization because it's been a pretty well-known Cleveland story for many years now. I know it's becoming extremely popular to add things like shaft bands or ferrules to your clubs, but I mean, you guys have been sort of, I don't want to say pioneering it, but you've been doing it for so long. It's like, I just recognize it as part of your story now. Is there been growth to that? And has anyone been having a good time? One of those back rooms just ripping away at the computer, seeing what else they can do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this generation is one of the bigger steps forward we've had on the personalization side. We did a lot of cool and exciting things and really focused more on that direction in RTZ. And I think we exponentially expanded those offerings this generation. So our brand new skins that we have on each of the wedges are really impressive. There's some images on the website and what we've managed to achieve with multicolor laser designs and, you know, all of these intricate patterns with the brand new laser system that we have in office is really, really exciting. It is truly a standout piece for a sort of nominal upcharge. It's not even that much for these additions. So having the ability in this pre-order to even no upcharge these additions is really fun. We've expanded our feral menu. So we've got a bunch of fun new offerings, checkerboards, and some more traditional ferals in there as well. But a lot of different options to bling it out. If you want a USA feral on your wedges, you can now order that with an American flag. There's fun stuff like that that we're really seeing a ton of momentum in. I mean, our personalization sales have been through the roof over the last couple of years as everybody really enjoys the ability to make their wedge their own and truly have a one-of-a-kind offering in their bag when you go through that menu. And we're also seeing the ability to add our custom characters and things like that to connect to things that mean stuff to people. So this time around, we've really rolled out a dedicated teams menu. We've worked with Golf Pride to put together essentially every MCC plus four grip that they have in their colorful menu. We've worked with our feral vendors to get specifically color matching ferals and then paint fill that, you know, will work with all of those options as well. So if you want to get a themed wedge that's around your high school or your favorite college football team or your favorite baseball or or football or NFL or whatever team or theme that you want to build, we've put together all of these components that you can mix and match to create something that's true to who you are as a fan or want to portray to the world as a really personal wedge. So exciting stuff on the personalization side. And I would urge you to go have some fun on our website and, make your own versions and see what kind of combinations that you can come up with. And really, really good strides in that area as well.
They have Subaru Blue in there or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can certainly get a little Subaru Blue and Gold. Absolutely.
I love that. I also noticed over the last year you've done some sort of custom wedge collaborations, which I think looked great. Will we see more of that kind of thing? Is that like a starting point or is that like a one-off?
No, we're definitely looking to do more limited edition drops and collaborations and things throughout the life cycle of this product. So there will be some more stuff coming down the pipeline later. It's really given us a canvas for a lot of experimentation and having such a clean design that we can do a lot of cool stuff with, I think allows, for you to make it your own, but also to potentially work with collaborators and things in the future. So if you're into that kind of thing, there's awesome things to come as well.
There's now's the part where you pan left, right? Like you I actually have two more questions. One of them has to do with CBZ because I have a couple of friends who are absolutely CBZ truthers at this point. Believe it's the only wedge that exists. Will we see some improvement or adjustment to that coming up here soon? What's the life cycle or storyline looking for them?
Yeah. So CBZ is about a year old now. It's certainly a category that we're committed to in the CB wedge. So we've got some things coming there, certainly. Don't want to spoil too much. But I think we really see ourselves as a company that makes wedges designed for a wide range of players. And the RTZ family, as a blade goes, is, actually relatively forgiving. But I'm not going to, sit up here and claim that it's more forgiving than a CBZ by any stretch of the imagination. The wide sole and all of the benefits of that wedge are, perfect for such a wide range of golfers. So having that as a core staple within our lineup to fit a player who's looking for a little bit more forgiveness and help around the greens or approaching the green, I play a CBZ in my gap wedge. It's a great option there for full shot performance, is a staple of our lineup. And we really feel committed to the golfing population that if you walk into a store or you come to our website looking for a Cleveland Golf wedge, no matter if you're a 20 handicap or a 2 handicap, you're going to be able to find something that works specifically for your game.
Awesome. There's one last question I have to ask, and it's purely cosmetic. And of course, I have to ask it because my people must know. Finishes.
Yes.
There's always a focus on finishes. I know Tour Rack is what it is, being that there's grinds that are involved. But the black satin, tour satin, you got the raw, non-rusty,
yep,
which is beautiful. Have you been experimenting on alternative options there? Are you seeing a chance to adjust?
Yeah. I mean, I think this generation, we've touched up the finishes a bit. I mean, the tour satin's beautiful and it's what you've come to expect. The black satin, I probably should have touched on it earlier, is a bit revamped, actually. We've added an anti-fingerprint sort of application to the black satin so that overall darkness, well, first of all, it's blacker than it's been in the past and even a darker finish, but it's also going to be more durable. And when you're, you know, messing around in the bag or whatnot, isn't going to smudge or have those sort of oil prints that it has in the past. So a more premium, expensive finish on the black satin specifically. So that's been a nice upgrade. Tour Rack obviously being a staple of the tour, something that's worked so well for us, continuing this generation with that raw rust-free performance. It's been lighting our lighting our world on fire with how well that's been received, and the idea of getting a tour authentic raw wedge that's going to last so much longer than your typical raw wedge is really a cool story that people have resonated with, and that true performance benefit of not having, you know, grooves deteriorating with rust over time is something that our tour players have been keeping in the bag longer and month over month than they had before. And it's something that we're going to continue through the future. And I can't speak too much to other options, but I can say we're looking into stuff. So yeah, there may be something's coming.
Come on, man. You're a veteran on the show now. We need something. No, I'm messing with you. That's great to hear. I assume there's always a chase, you know, you never know. And it seems like if you're already modifying the black finish, which I thought was great on RTZ, there's a clear intent to not just improve, but look around and see what else is potentially viable. I'm glad to hear that. RTZ2 looks great, man. I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us today about it. I know a lot of people are excited. A lot of THPers are excited. And that's just kind of the way things go with Cleveland wedges. It comes with a wake behind it.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, great to be on. Really excited to share what we've been working on for so long. And we're feeling the momentum. We were reading the comments all day yesterday. It's great to hear everybody's feedback on the forums of what they're thinking about the new wedges, and everybody looking to replace some already in the bag or wanting to try out the new grinds and everything. So keep the comments coming. We read them. We take that feedback into action, into future offerings. And yeah, it's great to hear.
Yeah, shout out to our homepage article, which went live. I guess it'll be a little bit ago, depending on when the show actually goes live. But there's a great conversation already being had on the THP forums. And yeah, go hit them for yourself and bring that information. They're listening, they're reading, they're watching, and that's actually a good thing in this case. So share with your thoughts with them. And yeah, I look forward to having you on again for the next big one.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dan.
All right, guys, if you're playing golf this weekend, have fun. Make it count. It's the middle of summer here, so you can at least enjoy yourself a little bit, right? We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, THP, Don Brown, True Temper, back here with another Shaft University. This week's question asked me to walk through the 100 to 110 gram shafts we have. Well, if you've watched any of these, you know I don't talk very slow, so we'll call it more of a jog, maybe a slight sprint through the 100 to 110 gram options. We have a bunch of stuff in that weight range, so I'm assuming you're talking about steel. We have our Dynamic Gold line, we have a Dynamic Gold 105, so still a little bit firmer shaft, even at that weight, lower launch, lower spin, or we have our DG mid, so Dynamic Gold mid, so as mid implies, launch is a little bit higher than the original Dynamic Gold, so we have that also in 115 and 100 gram weight. Over on the PX side, you can find some PX IOs out there. They're about 110 grams. And then we have a bunch of stuff in graphite. So we have our steel fiber line, covers that whole weight range up. And from the Acro guys, they have just about everything you're looking for. So really depends in that weight range on what you're looking for. But for my money, you really can't go wrong with the DG Mid 115 or DG Mid 100. Really good shaft, kind of fits the right up the middle player and right in that weight range you're looking for. Talk to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.